Let's face it, most of us pay most of the attention to our own lives, and artists are no different.
If you looked at all of the things that I've painted my whole life, they make a sort of autobiographical trail.
Painter Faye Jones took a few detours along her creative pathway, though. Like many women of her generation, her career took a backseat to raising a family. So this is the story of how one woman managed to meld her two identities, artist and mother. Thousands of people have seen Faye Jones' artwork, not in a museum, but here.
For safety, please keep in mind yellow textures until the bus comes to a complete stop.
I'm underground in Westlake Station in Seattle's downtown transit tunnel. Faye Jones created one of three enormous ceramic murals that you can see on the walls here. It's a 10-foot-high, 35-foot-long fantasia of men, women, and fish.
It's like art and leisure, because if you'll notice, if you throw in the rowboat there, so there's something with the water and then the people on shore, so I'm looking at art and leisure.
Faced with the immensity of this artwork, it's hard to believe that 40 years ago, Faye Jones could store her paintings in a small box in her bedroom.
Just, you know, a cardboard carton from the grocery store. The maximum dimension was probably 12 inches.
But I'm getting ahead of my story. Let's go back 70 years or so to Western Massachusetts. That's where Jones grew up, the oldest of six kids. Her father was in academia. Jones' mother ran a hotel. Hardly a conventional upbringing.
My mother didn't wear underwear. She, you know, had a cigarette dangling out of her mouth. Her hands were rough. I was dying for a mother who wore underwear, you know, lift bra, and didn't smoke in the grocery store, and, you know, whose hands had palm olive or something. I don't know. But I didn't. You know, that's, what can I say?
Faye Jones' parents didn't encourage her to be an artist. Then again, they didn't discourage her either. Jones recalls the first real acknowledgement of her potential came from the wife of one of her father's colleagues.
She was an illustrator for Lord & Taylor, and they had no children, and they kept monkeys and bongo drums in their apartment in New York.
When Jones was little, the couple came to visit her family. The woman brought young Faye a set of professional paints and brushes in a silver box.
Some people bring cookies, and this woman brought me a box of paints.
She played around with the paint set, but Jones didn't consider herself to be an artist.
My friends and I used to get together and make those beautiful patterns that you can make with compasses, and you fill in the colors. It was, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't Van Gogh or anything.
In fact, Jones didn't even take art classes because her school didn't offer them. Nevertheless, at 17, after high school, Faye Jones headed to the Rhode Island School of Design, one of America's best-known art schools.
It was all new to me. I was pretty much on my own. But it wasn't quite enough. There was a great thing about going to art school and being surrounded by other people who were similar, if not exactly alike. We all were waiting to get to that place where this is what we could do.
Faye Jones didn't use her prestigious art school education, at least not right away. This was the 1950s, an era when women, even educated women, were expected to get married and raise kids, not pursue careers. By the time she was 20, Jones was married with two young children. One day she ran into one of her art teachers.
He said, "Are you still painting?" I said, "Well, no." And I pointed to the stroller with these two children in it. And he said, "You know, don't give up." He said, "Keep at it, because at some point you will have time." Or I remember at the time being really surprised that somebody took me seriously.
But Faye Jones didn't head back to the studio. Instead, she had two more children. The family moved across country for her husband's job as an art professor. But as Jones went about the day-to-day tasks of running her household, a little voice just kept nagging at her to make art. So when her kids were in school, or napping, Jones would pull out her paints and brushes.
We had a There was a big table with a glass top that was supposed to be the dining room table and didn't seem practical with young children, so we moved it into the bedroom. And there were times of the day when the older kids were in school and I could actually sit at this table. And so that I can say that that's when I really started to paint.
Faye Jones ignored all the art trends, abstraction, minimalism, color field. Instead, she painted dreamy scenes of people and animals who seemed to float on the page in defiance of gravity or traditional perspective. And her paintings were tiny, small enough so that once her kids were home from school or up from their naps, Jones could quickly stow away the art and transform herself back into a mom. And so life went. Then one day, during a family outing at the beach, Faye Jones had an epiphany. She was watching her youngest son, who was five at that time, jump from rock to rock over the swirling waters of Puget Sound.
And I realized if he slipped, it was an accident. And almost simultaneous with that thought, I realized that my kids were going to grow up with or without me. You know, watching them jump from rock to rock and be nervous about them falling wasn't a full-time occupation. It was actually at that moment that I really decided that I was going to be a painter. That was it.
Faye Jones took her paintings out of their little storage box. Like her children, the artwork grew. Instead of 12-inch canvases, Jones began making paintings that were 4 feet by 6 feet or more, so big that eventually Jones did something most housewives wouldn't dream of. She turned the family living room into her art studio.
The rules have never worked for me. That's one thing I can say.
The Jones kids got used to the fact that their family wasn't terribly traditional, and galleries and collectors came to appreciate Faye Jones' colorful paintings. Her work sells well. But Jones isn't interested in regurgitating an artistic formula that's been successful in the past. For her, making art is about exploring new themes and new materials, even sculpture. A few years ago, Jones did a residency at the Pilchuck Glass School in Stanwood.
These are 7 glasses, and they've got holes drilled on the sides, and they're tied together with pink ribbons. And my family were very heavy drinkers. So this is actually, you know, this is like the perfect portrait of the slightly dysfunctional alcoholic family where everybody, when one falls, everybody falls. So, I mean.
Falling has become a concern. When Jones wants to paint, she tacks up large sheets of paper on the bare studio walls. She climbs a ladder to reach the top of the paper.
I have to be careful going up in the air because I get. If I'm on a ladder and forget that I'm there. I have done this in the last year, backed off, and luckily just dropped to the floor straight down and not crashed my head on the floor. So I need to get a better ladder, and I probably need a railing on the concrete steps coming down to my studio. That's just practical.
But that's something she'll deal with later. Right now, Faye Jones' top priority is getting back to work.
Sometimes you just don't have anything to say. So I've been doing other things. It's not as though I've been curled up in a ball, but eventually I have to go back to work because the ideas start to pile up and need to take care of business.
Jones has been haunted by the image of an older woman she saw in Mexico. She's itching to translate that into a painting. Faye Jones says she hates to think the day may come when she has to give away her paintbrushes. Luckily, that day isn't here yet. That story was produced originally as part of a series called Old Masters in 2009. Find more at our website, kuow.org.